James chapter 4, you there? All right, good. We're going to read one verse this morning, and this whole verse, actually two verses, but these two verses are going to show some things that I believe that are very important. And the title of my message tonight, this morning, if you're taking notes, is Advancing Your Walk with God. And I believe it's important for every believer not to get comfortable in their walk with God, but to always be wanting to advance, meaning to go forward, to improve, to work on things that need to be worked on. That's a goal every day of my life, is to be better than the day before. Does that always happen? No, that doesn't always happen. And the good thing about God is we're able to start things over. And so my goal in my life, and I hope it'll be your goal in your life, if it's not today, that it will be, is to advance your walk with God. I'm going to be honest with you, I had a hard struggle coming up with what I was wanting to preach on this morning. And I was ready for the 11 o'clock service. I'm ready for tonight's service. I was talking with Chris about this. I said, Chris, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, I cannot wrap my brain around it. And of course, my helpmeet, she says, how about you just use your heart? And well, that was so true, and me opening up my heart to God allowed some things to happen in my life to see this picture today. So let's read these two verses in the book of James, chapter 4, verse number 7. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I used this verse just a little bit on Wednesday night. Little did I know I was going to be going back here today. Well, before we go on, let's have a word of prayer. I used to do this, and I'm going to ask you this again. As I pray out loud, I'm going to ask you to pray in your own mind, in your own heart, that God would work in your life. I don't know what you need spiritually. God does. And so what you need spiritually is I pray outwardly. I ask that you would pray, God, just work in my heart. Show me what you need me to learn today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your word today. We are thankful that, again, that we are able to gather together as brothers and sisters. I count it a great privilege and a joy to be amongst my family this morning. I pray that you would, again, speak to our hearts. I thank you, Lord, for challenging my life in this situation. And so, God, I pray this morning, as I have been challenged and will be challenged once again this hour, that you would challenge everybody else here this morning. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. There are three important things that we must do in order to advance our walk with God. Both are found, or all three of those are found in the book of James, chapter 4, verse number 7, and the last one is found in verse number 8. A person who is no longer striving to make his gains, to make gains in his walk with the Lord, is a person who stands in great danger of the enemy walking all over them. You and I need to be on guard when it comes to the enemy. You and I need not to stand still, but what we need to do is to attack at times. We need to advance. I'm going to use some illustrations this morning to help us understand this a little bit more. And I dove into my world that I know a little bit of, and that is sports. A lot of you folks, you say, Chad, you talk negative about sports sometimes. But I'm going to tell you this. I am a sports fanatic. I love playing basketball. I love playing golf now, but what I don't like is the politicization in the field of sports. I don't care what takes place in this world with those things. I can care less about what's going on in the Olympics right now when everybody wants to go over there from our country and begin to politicize things and take a knee. It is a great privilege to represent our country. It's a great privilege to go into a foreign land and let them know that we are proud of the land of the free and the home of the brave. Those are things that we need to take a stand on. But so often now, we're in a world of sports where they take it to the next level and they want to politicize their beliefs and they will take a knee. The only time I think that we need to take a knee, in all honesty, is before the Lord God himself. That's when we need to take a knee. It's funny how years ago, they would make fun of Tim Tebow and criticize him for taking a knee. This isn't any of my notes. I'm just giving this to you for free. And they criticized him, and basically they kicked him out of the NFL because of him taking a knee, praying to God, praying to his Lord. He advertised it. It was on his face with the black things that he put below their eyes. I never understood what those things do. I thought it was just an overload of mascara. The guys didn't know what to do with it. But anyway, they put it on their eyes, and they put John 3:16 in there. And they criticized him and kicked him out of the NFL. I say this for a reason. Tim Tebow is one of the most winningest quarterbacks that we've ever witnessed. But they criticized him for taking a knee for the Lord. So take an athlete for an example. In order for them to achieve the goals, in order for them to advance in their field that lies ahead for them, they have to have certain advancements in their workouts. That has to take place. And their practices as well. They may never reach the championship game. They may never be on stage for that reason. But in order to get anywhere in sports, they must make advancements to get there. Colton this past year was playing baseball, and they practiced hard. They made advancements. They kept winning, and they kept winning. I don't think that they ever got too cocky. I don't think they ever got to the place where nobody can beat us. They kept working on their game, and they advanced to the part where they took state this past Thursday in the state of Iowa in their division. Congratulations to him, by the way. He's fortunate enough to reach that stage. They made advancements in their practices. They made advancements in their workouts to get to that spot. So even in the life of an athlete, you may encounter setbacks. Setbacks such as injuries. Those things will take a toll on a person's body. One thing I wish I would have taken advice from years ago, because about the age of 17, I did something in my life that I was never really consistent at. For those who know me back then, I was skinny as a rail. 6'4", I weighed about 170 pounds, and I played basketball. And I got to the point where I got tired of being pushed around, and because that's easy to do. And so I did something back in that day where I decided, you know what, I'm going to start lifting weights. And so I'd done that, and I've continued to do that. And then I set goals that I wanted to achieve in that field. And there have been some folks that would come along the way, and they would take me by the side, and they say, Chad, I see that you're making great gains, but I want to give you some advice. Don't always go heavy. I said, you don't know what you're talking about. You're jealous because I'm making some gains and you're not. Little did I know that that advice was for my benefit, because years later, as I got on, injuries begin to set in into my body. And there's a few guys in here that work out. Francis is here and Matt is here, and they know what I'm talking about. And those injuries are a setback in your life. But here's what takes place. You still keep your focus on what lies ahead, no matter what the setback is. Most of you know I have taken a huge liking to golf. I love golf. I'm not very good at that, that's okay, but I strive to get better. And so what I do, I try to advance in my game. I listen to folks who know the game. I watch videos to help me out. I'll go to the driving range to want to advance my game in those areas, and I'll go on to the course itself and begin to play. Why? Because I want to advance. But in the game of golf, I've noticed you'll have one good day, or you might have one good drive or one good putt, then you'll have many other setbacks from that. And that can become discouraging. And though it becomes discouraging, you still have it within you to advance in life in those things. So here's what I do, just like anybody else when it comes to an athlete. I practice, and I practice. And some days it pays off, and then there are some days I'll have some more setbacks. But I'll keep going, keeping my focus, trying to advance in that area. So regardless, I still want to improve my game. The same with walking with the Lord. We should always be striving to have a better walk with Him. There's nobody in here this morning that has a perfect walk with Him. I'll admit, I'm the first one to say, I don't have a perfect walk with the Lord, but I do have a desire, even though I might have setbacks, and sometimes those setbacks are on myself, but I still have a desire to advance in my walk with Him. I'm going to use another illustration to help set the story here. And some of you might laugh, some of you might, well, I don't even really know who he is. That doesn't really matter. But in my day, I grew up watching wrestling. And it's not the wrestling that is on television today. I will say this, that's grotesque. It's humiliating to the people that are involved in that type of entertainment. I don't see where anybody can go out there, man or woman, begin to cheer on a woman who is being degraded by a man or even degraded by another woman. I think it's really sick in those areas. It shows you how far things have changed because of our standards being let down in our world. And our standards have been let down in our world because walks with the Lord might be at a standstill. And so here's what takes place in those areas. So with that being said, in my childhood, Hulk Hogan was the biggest household name that I can ever think of back in that day. Yeah, I watched some other sports. I watched football. I can care less for baseball. I love playing the sport, but I can care less for watching it. No offense, Matt. That's just who I am. Gary played baseball. He coached baseball. I can care less to watch golf. I'd rather play it. That's where I'm at. But Hulk Hogan was a big name in the wrestling entertainment. He lived by three rules in his career that helped him advance to become the most successful wrestler of his time. And his rules are this when it came to his training. And he was dead serious about this. Some folks thought that this was a gimmick, but this wasn't a gimmick for him. This was true in his life. Now, I don't know where he's at spiritually. I don't know those things. And I'm not trying to bring glory to him. I'm not trying to honor him, but he has some good thoughts here. So the three rules that he had in his training to advance for his career was this. One was the training. You want to be good at what you're trying to do, you have to put in the time to train. Well, that being said, when it comes to training, when you want to advance in your walk with the Lord, you have to train yourself in Him. And there's many different ways that we can do those things. And I made mention of it just a little bit on Wednesday night. The biggest thing that you and I can do is, when it comes to training, is to read the Bible that God has given us. Now, that being said, we probably have not taken advantage of reading God's Word the way that we should. And shame on us if that's the case. And I'm not here to try to make you feel bad. I'm just saying shame on us if the Word of God is not important in our life. It should be important in our life. So he has training. The second thing that he puts down here is this, the prayers. You know, in order for us to advance our walk with God, what do we need to do? As children of God, we need to pray. That's how we are to advance our walk with God. And when we come to God and we begin to pray, man, we need to open up because God already knows our faults. He already knows our setbacks. What we need to do is just be in agreement with Him and say, God, you know I'm having these problems. I need your help because I want to advance in my walk with you. The other thing is he ended this his three-step program with this, the vitamins. Training, prayers, and the vitamins. That's what he used. Vitamins are important when it comes to an athlete because the body becomes fatigued. It becomes worn out of all the training that takes place. And the right supplements that get put into your system will elevate you. It will lift you up. And so I will say this, another form for a vitamin for a believer to be advancing in his walk with the Lord is right in front of you on your lap. It's not your Bible. It's your Bible. It's not your cell phone. Some people might have their cell phones out. It is your Bible. The reason for using him and other athletes is for this reason. They didn't want to be the ones not advancing in their careers. They wanted to make a name for themselves. They wanted to become popular in their sport that they were in. And so that's why they did these things. The book of James gives us three ways in order for you and I to advance in our walk with the Lord. Again, every single one of us should have a desire within ourselves to have a better walk with the Lord today than we did yesterday. Did we not fail in some things yesterday? Did we not fail in some things Friday, Thursday, Wednesday, on and on? We could always make improvements every single day of our lives. That's called advancing in your walk with Him. All we have to do is add this to our lives, and while we add this, we can be successful in doing so. Of course, I must say we shouldn't idolize the athlete. In my life, I idolized the athletes as I was growing up, but I want to throw this out there. We should not idolize the athlete because they will let you down. But they do have a work ethic that cannot be ignored. They have something within themselves that shows us some things that we can apply to our lives. And we will see gains in our walk that we should desire to have with the Lord. If you're awake this morning, say amen. I know I've done a lot of talking. I'm excited. But I want to hear some amens every once in a while. Amen. All right. That way people on YouTube will see that, will hear that there's people here. They won't say, who's this guy talking to? Himself? So if you say amen every once in a while, they'll know that there's people here. Well, that being said, let's look at three things that are profitable for us in advancing our walk with Him. The first one is found in verse number 7, and that is, let's read the whole verse, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So the first thing that we see in order for us to advance in our walk with God is, class A with me, submit to God. That's what we need to do. We submit to God by recognizing that He is the sole authority over us. So today, this is the authority of our lives. And we need to submit to Him. He is the Word. He is the flesh. We need to submit to Him. Here are four ways that I wrote down that we don't submit to God. I can give you ways of how to submit to God, but I'm going to give you some ways that we don't submit to God. So I would encourage you to write these down. One is control. We decide our own destiny by this factor, by ignoring God. One is control. Two, we have fear. We want to seize the opportunity now because it may not come around again. So with that being said, when it comes to seizing the opportunity for our own benefits, here's what takes place. We do not wait for God's perfect plan. Number three, we have distrust. We don't trust anyone, even including God. We distrust. I will have to admit to you, on many occasions in my life, I did not trust God the way that I should. I am just as guilty as this as anybody else that is in here. We don't trust anyone, including God Himself. We lack security. Number four, we take measures into our own hands to protect and secure ourselves, and listen to this last part, and not relying upon God for security. Those are four ways that we do not submit to God. We're all guilty of this at some point in time in our lives. Nobody has perfected this. So, since God is our authority, and we are being in submission to Him, then here is what follows in order for our walk to be advancing Him. The first thing is, when it comes to submitting God, I gave you four things. Now I'm going to give you some things when it comes to submitting to God. The first thing is, we must obey Him. We must obey God. We don't always have to agree. We don't always have to like. But when God tells us to do something, we must obey Him. As simple as that. There's been things in my life where things have happened, and you folks can testify to this as well. God has done some things, and you might not have agreed with Him. I can go on and give you a whole list of things that I simply didn't agree. But it's not up for me to agree. My job as His child is to obey Him. You know, when Mom and Dad would tell us as we're growing up, take out the trash, I didn't agree with it. For this reason, I had five other siblings that could have done it as well as I could have. Or it was cold outside. We had to walk a great distance. Well, it seemed like a great distance back then. You know, just like the elderly folks didn't hear you. Yep, I walked to school uphill and all day long to school and 40 inches of snow and all those things. I know the stories exaggerate as you get older. I understand those things. But, man, it seemed like a mile to the trash can. And the reason why it's for that is because, plain and simple, just being lazy. You know, I didn't agree with it at times. I didn't agree with it at times where we had to mow the yard here. By the way, this yard was huge when I was a kid. Take away that gym and a majority of those parking lots, it was huge. We didn't have the commercial mower that we have now. We had goats. And then we went from goats to 21-inch mowers. I'm kidding, folks. We didn't have goats. Some of you are like, really? Man, Chad, you've been around a long time. No, I just look like I have. And that's it. So when it comes to God giving us direction in life, when it comes to submitting to God, we need to obey Him. Plain as that, obey Him. We sing that song, Trust and Obey, quite often. But I'll be honest with you, that is the hardest thing to do. It's the hardest thing to do in my life, is to simply trust and obey Him. Whatever God that is asked of God for us to do, be obedient. Be obedient. He is the head, and we must follow. And by following Him, the second thing that we do is put ourselves under Him. So not only when we submit to Him, we are to obey Him, and then we put ourselves under Him. We are not above God. So often, you hear people think highly of themselves, thinking that they are better than everybody else, and sometimes thinking they are better than God. We need to put ourselves under Him. The world's philosophy is that we are over God. And the truth of the matter is, they are dead wrong. And I am scared for those types of individuals that honestly will believe that. I know some folks that have that nature in them. So here is some free advice. If we as men want our wives to be submissive to us, yeah, I had to go there. I had to bring this in because it's talking about submission here. So if we want our wives to be submissive to us, they must see in us, gentlemen, that we are submissive to God. You will never have a submissive wife if you're not going to be submissive to God, plain and simple. So I gave some free advice to the men, meaning it's free. You can't give it back to me. I don't want it back. It's yours. You can have it. And all God's people said, amen. You're still awake. So here's some advice for the women as well. The man is the leader of the home. And let him lead. Stop being a leader. That's what's wrong with our society today. Women will, and I'm talking godly women, not just the world out here, I'm talking godly women, will not allow their men to lead. And men, step up to the plate. That's more free advice. And all God's people said, amen. You will never be submissive to God if you're not submissive to your husband. The second profitable thing in our walk with the Lord to see advancement is in verse number 7 as well. Let's read it again. Submit yourselves, that's the first one. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Here's the second one. Say it with me. Resist the devil. That's the second thing that we must do in order to advance our walk with the Lord, and that is to resist the devil. Well, how do we resist the devil? Well, for the lack of time here, you can turn your Bibles later on to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 through 18. You will see there's a profitable tool for us in God's Word for us to resist the devil, and that is to put on the whole armor of God. Put it on. And you know what? We have to put it on every single day. We are given a sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to cut through and to expose the lies of Satan. But in order for us to resist the devil, you know what needs to take place? Goes back to our first one. What is that, class? Submission. Submission. In order for us to resist the devil, we must be in submission to God. Without that, we will not be able to resist the devil. I'm going to go on just a little bit here. By forgetting one piece of the armor of God, we are allowing ourselves to become ambushed by Satan himself. Resisting consists of putting on God's armor and submitting to him. I will say this. If you do not think the attacks of Satan are real, you're foolish. Because Satan's attacks are very real in the life of a believer. And they can be avoided. But unfortunately, there are casualties. Just in like in the wartime, policemen, fire departments, there are casualties. There are casualties in this walk of life for this reason. Because of the lack of knowledge to resist him. It clearly says in this verse, we didn't read it all the way, if we resist him, he will flee from you. You know, there's sometimes where you have to go in your house, and I've come to this conclusion, Satan does not know my thoughts. He's not an all-knowing person. He can't be in every single place at every single time, every single second of the day. He doesn't know my thoughts. So there are some times where I have to come into the home where Satan's bugging me, attacking my mind, attacking my thoughts at times. And I have to say out loud, devil, leave me alone. That's what we need to do in our life. Resist him, and he will flee from you. I have heard on many occasions how the devil attacks the mind of a believer. My question, are we putting on the helmet of salvation that is described in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, 13 through 18? To protect our minds from the darts of Satan. Every article of clothing for the armor of God is critical for all of us to put on every single day. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. How does this happen? By being in submission to God and recognizing this will advance our walk with him. The third thing, I see that I have a few moments left, and we will conclude with this. We see here, this is crucial in our walk with the Lord, number three. And I briefly talked about this Wednesday night, and that is, let's read this in verse number 8. Draw nigh to God. And he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Sadly, the walk that we want at times with God gets interrupted because of a lack of focus. How does the athlete achieve their goals even through their injuries? They stay focused. They stay focused. It could be years, but the focus is always there because they are hungering for it. What do you mean? Are you hungering to draw close to God? Are you hungering to have your walk being increased daily with Him? So how can we draw near to Him? I'll give you two things. One is by being focused. Two is by being glued to His side. I have two dogs at home, and on occasion you guys hear me, I make fun of them. I like them. They're good dogs at times. They're a pain a majority of the times. I have a dog who thinks he's a cat. I have to serve him. For those of you who have cats, they don't serve you. You serve the cats. And I have a dog that way. And his name's Finn. His nickname is Finiot. You figure that one out later. Jalen's come up with a host of names for him as well. But I noticed something this past week. I think he's about 7 or 8. He was, when we got him, we rescued him. And the neighbor that where he was at, they threw some poison over the fence, and he got into that and caused him to have a stroke. And so they couldn't breed him. He's a purebred miniature schnauzer, and a cute little dog when he's nice. But he's got some brain problems. It affected his brain, and there's times where he does a me sometimes. Doesn't know what he's doing. But I noticed something this week. Every time that I walk out to the door, that dog is glued to my side. I mean, when I take a step, he takes a step. When I stop, he stops. I'm not kidding you. He's focused, and he's glued to my side. It's almost as if he's taking me to the door and letting me know, hey, have a good day, I'll be okay. I know everybody got teary out on that one. But he's glued to my side. You know, that's a silly illustration, but that ought to apply to us when it comes to God. We ought to be focused on Him, and we ought to be glued to His side. Just like athletes, you and I, we get injured. How do we get injured? I'll be dealing with this in the next hour to come. But here's how we might get injured. We might be attacked by other believers. Or they may say some things about your family members. And on we can go with this. This will cause some to draw away from Him. Let us do something here. Our job is not to injure one another. Our job is to help each other draw closer to God. That's what our job is. The Bible doesn't stop here, though. It goes on, and I'm glad it doesn't stop here. Because let's read this. Draw nigh to God, and let's finish this out, class, and He will draw nigh to you. Are you so thankful that you don't have to finish it? All you have to do is start drawing to Him, and He comes to you. It's a beautiful picture there. Yeah, it's repeated so often as preachers get up and preach on this subject over and over again. But all we have to do is be willing to take that first step to draw to Him. And I've often wondered, why does it say, and He will draw nigh to you? Because He knows us. He knows that we will lose our focus. He knows that we might not stay glued. And so He's going to come forth, and He's going to draw nigh to you. And He's going to say, hey, I got you. I'm so glad that you decided to take the first step. He has given you a free choice to pursue a relationship with Him. He doesn't force anything on you. Not a thing. He wants you to have your own choice in those matters. If it's forced upon you, I've noticed this, it'll never be a real relationship. But when you choose to draw nigh to Him, man, the relationship with Him is just unreal. So how do we keep advancing our walk with Him? One, submit. Two, resist the devil. Three, draw near to God. Simple as can be. Not over your head today, but very simple. These three steps, if you follow this in your life, will be very beneficial in your advancement in your walk with God. Now, If you don't have a desire to advance your walk with God, I will say this in closing. Something is deeply wrong inside you. That's all I need to say about that. Something's wrong inside you. Each day with the Lord is sweeter as the days go by. I'm looking forward to the day when we finally get to be in the presence of the King. And that'll be amazing. So I'm going to ask you a question as I close this morning. How is your walk with God today? Is it advancing, or you keep taking steps further and further away from Him? Draw nigh to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that You've given us. I thank You for this word. I thank You again for challenging my heart this morning. I pray for the ones that are here this morning. I don't know anybody's struggles. You do. And God, this is really a message of just really of great encouragement on how we can further our walk with You. And so, God, I pray that, again, that we would just have an open heart to receiving Your word. My biggest fear right now, as I'm done, that this will all be forgotten. Lord, I've studied this. You've laid it upon my heart. So, God, I pray that it will not be forgotten as we leave here today. We ask it in Your name. Amen.